Happy fourth day of the week, or fifth day of the week, on this 22nd or 21st of June, 2023. Wow, we're nearly halfway. They have a saying here in Australia, they say, I don't have time to swing a cat. Don't know why anyone would want to do that. It's a silly saying, probably. But here we are. And I hope unscathed, but helped by the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you in every area of your life. I've got a small story to share with you. I'll put it in the room so you can read with me. And welcome, Sister Luce. Glad you could join us. You made it. Okay. Hugs and love to you all. There it is. Now you can see a screen. That's a bonus. Bonus. Okay. So, here's the story. I got it from someone else. Talking about a wife, talking about a husband. This morning I found a cockroach in the kitchen. So I asked my husband to catch it and to clean up the kitchen so its germs were not left behind. He hates cockroaches. When I got home, everything was absolutely spotless. Husband has done a marvelous job. Everything in the kitchen is thoroughly clean and looks like new. Tomorrow, I'm going to put the cockroach in the bathroom. We may smile at this story, but it carries a powerful message about diligence, awareness, and being ready. The signs tell us Jesus is coming back very soon, but are we truly ready like he said to be? Are we praying for the things he said to pray for? Complacency is the enemy of awareness. And here's a quote. None of them are from the KJV. They are from different versions, but it says, therefore you also be ready or alert, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24, verse 44. There will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Luke 21, 23. Be careful not to let yourselves become occupied with too much feasting and drinking, and with the worries of this life, or that day may suddenly catch you like a trap. Be on watch, alert, and pray always that you will have the strength to go safely through all those things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 22. Another quote. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. Isaiah 33, verses 16 to 17. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Luke chapter 4 and verse 10. I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what we're looking at today, further in Revelation 21. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, said Jesus. And he says it to us today. I've chosen for the opening song something hopefully you can read on the screen. I'll just bring that out. Now, I'm learning, as with you, if no one knows this song, but I have learnt it, and I think I'm not quite sure it's the only tune that goes with it, but it's called Christ or Barabbas, and the reason I've chosen this song, other than it's a hymn, is because it's the first hymn in the book Christ in Song, which is, this is the 100th anniversary edition that I've got in my hand showing on the screen. And this is the first one. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I knew all these songs and tunes? And go figure, I don't even know the first one. But with the help of YouTube, I have come across a tune. I was looking at the notes, and I couldn't match it to the tune. So I'm going to sing the tune that I found on YouTube to this. But if you know the actual one, feel free to share that as well. It's very similar, but it's not quite. I think it's slightly different. So if anyone knows this song or would like to have a go at it, please feel free and I'll start us off. Let's give glory to God in song and believe the angels are joining us. What shall I do with Jesus? He stands before me now, wearing the robe of purple and thorns upon his brow. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free?
Now, would you like to hear the version as it's written in Christ in song? Shall I release the robber, the carnal man of pride, sin or a sinless Savior, oh, which shall be denied? Man, my voice is killing me tonight. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free? Come on, anybody else know this song? Jane, Joan. Come on, Joan. Oh, she left. She turned her computer on and went away. Solemn and awful question, how still the balance stands. Mercy a moment lingers, it trembles in her hand. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free?
Stealth on the seat of judgment, dare you the world deny? Louder and louder calling, away and crucify. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free?
Well, it looks like it's just the two of us tonight. I don't see anybody else in the room. Self on the seat of judgment, dare you the world deny? Louder and louder calling, away and crucify. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free?
Not to the sinner only, the question comes with power. Hear it, ye halting Christians, in every trial out. This is the question now, what shall the answer be? I will crucify Barabbas and set King Jesus free. May that each be our desire, born of God, born from above. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Not that we didn't have one before we officially started, but it certainly does not hurt to talk to God so he can talk to us through his word. Let's pray. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for making gatherings and meetings like this possible. It's very encouraging when we're in this world that seems so lonely and seems so foreign and we are pilgrims and strangers. It's encouraging to think, it's written in the book of Exodus, that you regard Jesus, when you are leading the children of Israel, you regard yourself as a pilgrim and stranger. In a foreign land that does not recognize your kingship. Thank you for showing us the plan of and the science of salvation, that it's the kingdom of grace that leads to the kingdom of glory. And if you are ruling in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, it will not be foreign to welcome the kingdom of glory and the King of kings and Lord of lords of that glory. Thank you for holding it out to us free and full and complete without money and without price, and the privilege of us claiming the promises of God for free, not coming with any merits of our own, which are no merits in your sight. But the simple plea of Christ and his righteousness, his spilt blood and his merits and what he represents. Thank you for bringing us through another halfway through the week and almost through halfway the year. It seems to go so quickly, but if it's with thy Holy Spirit, it's just where we need to be, when we need to be doing just what you've designed for us to do. Thank you for internet connection, and seek your blessing as we continue our journey in understanding what Christ has gone to prepare for those who love him. We claim John chapter 14 verses 1 and 3 for ourselves, that there are, with our name on it, there are places being prepared for each and every one of those who want to follow the word of God and want to be transformed by it, by thy Holy Spirit. Please continue with us, grace us with thy presence, and thank you for abundantly showing us your love in the past before we ever existed, in the present and in our own lives in years and months gone by, and the promises looking that much brighter for the future because of what we know of your love now. I pray that increases so that we can appreciate more what you are seeking to reveal to us on top of what you've already revealed. In Jesus we pray. Amen. And thank you, dear brother John. Brother John. I'm giving him my own name for myself, but Brother Dick, appreciate you singing the tune. Now you all know what the next one will be if you've got that song. Songbook, that is. Well, I can give you a heads up. Thank you for singing that. That was beautiful. White Leaves is number two, and it's from F.E. Belden. Looking forward to that. Well, reviewing what we got up to last week, putting the Bible on the screen. Okay, let's look at what we looked at last week. And we looked at a couple of verses, and to briefly go over it, we found that the 12 apostles, the New Testament church, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, like Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 brought out, where Paul writes, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we're to be stones, but Jesus is the chief cornerstone, without which we cannot stand. And we know Jesus says that in his Father's house there are many mansions, John 14:2. And of interest, because we looked at the tribes, I should actually have that portion up, what we looked at. You remember, you recall one of the tribes is not named. Well, actually two are not named. And one of them, of course, was Dan, that's not mentioned. And it's mentioned that he's a backbiter from the quote from Genesis 49:17, where it says, a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. And he also drops out of the list, and Levi takes his place. What a warning this should be to anyone who is given to criticism or backbiting in any form. Would it not at least be charitable for those who are tempted on this point to reflect on these well-known words? Now, this is a quote from Ellen G. White's biography. Whoops, wrong page. Ellen G. White's biography. And maybe they're well-known to you. Lucy and I were reading them last week. They weren't well-known to us, but I thought they were really cool. They were really insightful. And I'll just put it in the room so you can follow along with me. It's not a long thing to read. Just put it in here. So this is the quote. And this would have been probably just reaching 1900, the year 1900, a well-known quote, and it says, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly behoves any of us to talk about the rest of us. And you read that and you think, that's a nice rhyming sentence. And there's a lot of truth to it. There's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly behoves any of us to talk about the rest of us. When we remember that it is Satan, the serpent, who is the accuser of our brethren, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, should we not forever cast aside any such spirit, that we be not classed with him and finally cast down with him and lose our place among the redeemed of Israel? Solemn thought. So that's roughly what we got up to last week. And this week we'll pick it up from verse 17. I think we're up to the wall, the blessed wall. I'll just bring that up. Okay, so our focus is on the verse we're on. So who would like to read verse 17 to us all? And any thoughts, any questions, any comments, insights anyone wants to share? Oh, where was that quote from? That quote was from the Ellen G. White biography, volume 3. I don't have a page number. And for the quote I put in the room, like that little quote, it didn't say. It just said it was a well-known quote. So all I can think of is I'll have to Google it to get who wrote it down. That would be good in itself.
And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel.
Thank you, bro. So we have a real measuring going on here, and according to what Brother Bob just read, measure of a man, that is of the angel. Now, on the basis of the New Testament cubit, which was about 17.5 inches, which is about 44.5 centimeters, 144 cubits would be about 210 feet or 64 meters high. Wow. Lot of wow factors. And it says of the angel. Well, John writes of the angel. In the Greek, there is no definite article with angel. So it just says, so the passage reads, of a man, even of an angel. And I'm not sure there's much to read from the Spirit of Prophecy on this particular point, but whatever the dimensions, we can be assured as Christians that all is perfection. The saints will understand the significance of John's figures when they see the city. Which will be interesting, but the more we can find out now is even more exciting. It makes that event in the future. There is a quote I'd like to share with you all in the Spirit of Prophecy from Early Writings, page 293, and I've underlined a couple of places just to signify specifics regarding this verse. I'll just put it in the room, and perhaps someone could read it for us all. And thank you so much.
Jesus closes the gate to the city, of the city, and this vast army surrounds it and place themselves in battle array, expecting a fierce conflict. Jesus and all the angelic host and all the saints with the glittering crowns upon their heads ascend to the top of the wall of the city. Jesus speaks with majesty, saying, "Behold, ye sinners, the reward of the just, and behold, my redeemed, the reward of the wicked. The vast multitude, behold the glorious company on the walls of the city. And as they witness the splendor of this glitter, their glittering crowns, and see their faces radiant with glory, reflecting the image of Jesus, and then behold the unsurpassing glory and majesty of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, their courage fails. A sense of the treasure and glory which they have lost rushes upon them, and they realize that the wages of sin is death. They see the holy, happy company, whom they have despised, clothed with glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life, while they are outside the city with every mean and abominable thing, and they've all got monkeypox." Early Writings. 293. Well, they've got the diseases of the hour.
Sounds like monkey business. I love when the evolutionist says, "We don't believe we came from monkeys. We came from a similar ancestor." A monkey's uncle. Right. That really doesn't make sense from a scientific point of view. Well, thank you for reading that, bro. Appreciate that. I've just realized something. I wonder if you did too. Remember last week, Brother Bob asked a very insightful question. I'm just trying to bring up the Bible. I've left my Bible in the other room. So I just want to look up something here. Let me go. What am I trying to find? Okay. 12 pearls. Oh yeah. So you see in verse 21 there, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. So there's just, that's interesting. 12 gates, 12 pearls, not 24, not two, just one. That's the picture I'm getting. Every several gate was of one pearl. So it's just one gate. But notice in that quote, Brother Vic just read, Jesus closes the gates. This is not related to why I was bringing this up, but notice that, the gates. Remember I said to you it would seem like there'd have to be three gates specifically facing the lost because they're surrounding the city and that, but there'll be one, you know, we don't have eyes at the back of our head, so we'd be looking one particular direction. Is it the side of Judah? I don't know. Whatever direction it is. There, so you got the saved in the city, and then you got the lost looking toward it. So you'd have three gates on that side. So that would make sense, wouldn't it? The gates of the city Jesus closes. So it's not just one. That's curious. Interesting. Not sure that really answers the question, but there seems to be not a significance on just one gate going through. It would appear because there were more than one gate open. But of course we find other places where it says to just go through the gate. It's singular. Through the gate. And Lord willing, because he is willing, we'll be among them and get to go through one of those gates. And yeah, just an interesting side note. Does anyone have any points, any questions, comments, insights they'd like to share?
Yeah. There may be one of those gates that have two pieces. Because when Jesus went to heaven, the angel said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Would they open all 12 gates so he could come in one, or did, I don't know. Did his accompanying angels go in different gates? I know in some places it speaks of a gate, in other places gates, but that one verse might indicate that the gate he went through had two pieces.
Amen. It might also be a situation in which the city itself has 12 gates, but there is an outer wall or outer gate. Anyway, that's also a possibility.
Besides the gates, I was thinking of the last sentence, and it brings out how merciful God is to burn those people up so they didn't have to live forever with every mean and abominable thing. That's just life going on forever without God. What a horrible thing.
The wicked must want death. They call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Or at least they did 1,000 years ago.
Amen and amen. And perhaps the way that the gates open, if we're to take it literal from Psalm 24, they don't swing that way, but if it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, twice, lift up your heads, lift up your heads. It's kind of like a slammer when you let go, when they come back down, it's like a shudder. That might be a really interesting, Psalm to look up in the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to make a note of that. Interesting, interesting. Well, let me bring the Bible back. Would someone like to read verse 18 for us all? And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold. Is it your screen, Liz?
Is my eyes, they're suddenly getting old and tired, I think.
Like unto clear glass.
Thank you, sis and sisters. Praise the Lord for your eyes, my friend. Both of you. So we have the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Wow. What does that look like? And the word building in that verse, the word building in that, in this quote is endomesis, a building, which is a building in from demeo, to build. The word occurs only here in the New Testament. Josephus, the Jewish historian, uses it as a mole, a sea wall built out into the sea as an inset in the water. Here, endomesis may refer to an inset in the wall as though the wall were inlaid or studded with jasper. Well, that's one way of looking at it. Apparently, jasper is, as we've seen, is from the Greek. It means it's the rock iaspis, or the stone, not precisely the modern jasper, but a stone described by the ancient naturalist Pliny as translucent. And what is the definition of translucent? Because this is interesting, because you think about it. If the wall is, say, 64 meters high, 210 feet high. That's a very high wall. Absolutely. Yeah, you're getting the picture. You can see through it. That's what would make it beautiful. I'm looking at it. I know it doesn't say that, but if it's translucent, like dear sister put in the room, you'll be able to see through it. You don't miss 64 meters worth of, you know, glorious sight from a distance. I just put the meaning of translucent from one of their websites. It says translucent and obviously other pictures of it. I understand. Semi-transparent. Yeah, it's not entire. This is the meaning given, translucent adjective of a substance allowing light but not detailed shapes to pass through. Semi-transparent. The back is made from a translucent material. So the similar words that are used or synonyms are semi-transparent, pellucid, diaphanous. Interesting words. Colorless, glassy, glass-like, gossamer, clear, crystalline, see-through, limpid, transparent and transpicious. Fantastic, amazing, long-sounding words. So, yeah, and that's the thing. So you can see through it, but there's limitations to that, which kind of makes you think, oh, no, 64 meters high, and you can't see straight through it. I mean, we don't know what that stone is. Scholars claim they don't know what the stones are. Is it possible that it is totally transparent? Is that possible? I don't know if we can rule it out. Has anyone found anything in the Spirit of Prophecy ruling that out? Or in the Bible? That's interesting. And coming in the room, translucent allows light to pass through it, but it is not transparent. Mm. So, amen. So, John has recourse repeatedly to precious stones for describing brilliant colors. For some light shining on such stones produced some of the most brilliant colors known to man in his day. And in the present instance, dealing with the word jasper, which is iaspis in Greek, probably describes a bright flashing light more notable for its brilliance than its color. Hmm. That's curious. That is curious. And we got pure gold. Everything in this city is just pure. I'm just going to put the Bible back in. You got the structure of the city appears to have the transparency of glass. Wow. Now, I found an interesting quote. You probably all read it. It's from the book Life Sketches, page 113. But before I put it in the room, does anyone have anything they'd like to share audibly with us all?
I seem to remember a passage in the Spirit of Prophecy where the saints are inside the city, and it says that the wicked see the saints in the city enjoying the beauties of the place. So that would seem to be looking through something transparent, but they could have been looking through one of the pearly gate portals, you know, see through that, through the open gate there. But anyway, I have no idea where to find that, but it seems to me I've read that somewhere. But we have some stones that are translucent, where if you shine a light on the back side of the stone, you can see the light sort of as a cloudy, glowing brilliance in the stone. You can't make out the flashlight details, but you can see the glow of it spread throughout the stone. So especially at night, it's a really unique sight to see that whole stone light up in a glowing way just from a light source on the backside of it. So if you're outside the city and there's light inside the city, and we know, of course, the Father and the Son are the light of the city, then that light would go through that translucent wall and allow the whole thing to glow. So that would really be a fantastic sight.
Yes, good evening and good morning, James. I was imagining of a translucent object, and since this is New Jerusalem, where our Most High, the King of Kings, is to stay, the King of Glory, and this glory must shine in everything. We as the remnants who be saved, all what is in his kingdom must shine his glory. And this city, as I imagine, is designed to reflect the beauty and the glory of our Most High, the King of Kings. Therefore, I can imagine John being taken to a city that is intended, forecast to reflect the glory of God. So I don't imagine at one time what will be there could be on its own, but all wisdom, all beauty, all glory will be from the Lord, and it must be reflected throughout every object, throughout every creature, probably in heaven, in the new city, Jerusalem. And that was my imagination, a city designed for purpose to reflect the goodness of our Most High. This is what I could comment and give in. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Let me show two pictures here. Okay, that is the front of a translucent geode. And let me show you what it looks like with the light shining through it. So you can't see the details of the light, but you can see that it glows throughout the whole stone.
Okay, thank you for those pictures, Brother James. I mean, Bob. I was also imagining of I've been in DRC Congo, and the first day I reached there, the people and the brethren I was staying with could talk of mining. Then I said, what is mining? Then they said, no, you know, there's a lot of gold. Is there a market for you? Is there a market in your country? Then I was saying, no, I'm here for a different purpose. But then, they could talk of very precious stones. And now when I imagine the strife in the Congo and everybody pretend to go and initiate peace, I probably think of the hidden agendas of going there to squander those precious stones. And in human thinking, I think everybody would love to be near a very beautiful item. Maybe if I visited some of the well-to-do homes, they like putting very precious items in the sitting room. I don't know for what reason, but maybe for beautifying their rooms. And when the visa comes, then you do see the whole thing beautified. Jesus said, I go to heaven to prepare presents for you. And I will come back and take you there in his father's house, in his father's city. There are many mansions, and probably these are the mansions. Christ is doing a very great job of preparing, and he would love to have his guests, the bride, in a very beautiful location, a very beautiful city that could glow the great King of Kings' glory, that everybody will love to stay there forever and ever, praising our God for the beautiful love that he has for human race, that when they are redeemed after from the suffering of the world, they are now taken into a very beautiful city that no mind can imagine, but what God prepares to reveal to us how beautiful it will be, that we should be there. And John is struggling to see a vision where he can see many beautiful items. What we could think that the most expensive stone is the jaspers and the others which you could not mention and even come into our thinking, but they are very beautiful, is what Christ, what God wants to prepare for his people, that they could dwell in such a city. How great it would be a day when all of us are in such a city. When you are in Africa, people dream of visiting New York, where they think things are too beautiful. Going to London, nobody from Africa, when you want to make him travel overseas or abroad. He would love to go to deeper villages of those countries, but he would only love to hear, "I've gone to Las Vegas, probably New York, where he feels things are too beautiful and too wonderful to dwell in. Life is so good and precious and so soft in this world." So our Most High, once he's redeemed, precious souls Christ died for, to stay in a very beautiful, wonderful city that no man can imagine, that life would be really very glorious and very wonderful to enjoy. I think when we come to this imagination, then it too would come to our mind to dare to be there, to struggle exceedingly to be one of the redeemed. May his name be praised for the great work he is doing for us, that we may be in that city. Praise God and hallelujah, that all of us, is my prayer that we reach that wonderful city. Amen.
Amen, dearest bro. Yeah, it's all about God, the Godhead, and their love for us. It's not about the stones. It's not about eternal youth, as wonderful as those things are. It'll be about the giver of it all, and they'll never be deterred from that worship that is true and pure. That quote I mentioned about spirit of prophecy, and thanks for that insight, bro and brothers and sisters. You've given me homework to do, which is no complaint, but it's a subjects that you think are small to begin with become filled with more questions as you search further. Now, this is a quote from Life Sketches, page 113, and it's talking about a lady quoting this description that we're starting to read in Revelation 21. I want you to notice that you've probably all read it before, but I think it's very interesting. Would someone like to read it to us all?
While at Brother Harris's, I had an interview with a sister who wore gold and yet professed to be looking for Christ's coming. We spoke of the express declarations of Scripture against the wearing of gold, but she referred to where Solomon was commanded to beautify the temple and to the statement that the streets of the city of God were pure gold. She said that if we could improve our appearance by wearing gold so as to have influence in the world, it was right. I replied that we were poor fallen mortals, and instead of decorating these bodies because Solomon's temple was gloriously adorned, we should remember our fallen condition and that it cost the suffering and death of the Son of God to redeem us. This thought should cause in us self-abasement. Jesus is our pattern. If he would lay aside his humiliation and sufferings and cry, "If any man will come after me, let him please himself and enjoy the world, and he shall be my disciple," the multitude would believe and follow him. But Jesus will come to us in no other character than that of the meek, crucified one. If we would be with him in heaven, we must be like him on earth. The world will claim its own, and whoever will overcome must leave what belongs to it. Life Sketches 113, paragraph 3, I guess it is. Very interesting answer. Very good one.
Amen and amen. Wow. Would someone like to read verses 19 to 20 with those lovely names of stones that we probably hardly ever use in our vocabulary? Who would like to do that?
I'll have another go, but I'll read from the Bible this time. It might be easier than reading from the screen. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. Now, many of those I've never heard of, and I'm not sure whether I pronounced them correctly. Perhaps someone could enlighten me.
I think you did well, sis. The free dictionary gives you pronunciations. Perhaps I could have put them in there. I thought I would have said it just like you, but what do you think? Does anyone think differently?
I would have said the same thing, because that's their names. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you, good job. Probably in addition to what I have read, I can also read from Daniel and Revelation. Can see the word adorned or garnished says what? And then he goes ahead to start describing down where I want to read. The stones we could mention, and he tried to describe them like he was saying jasper. As we have seen above, is usually a stone, a green, transparent color with reddish veins. But there are many varieties. Then he goes ahead to describe other. Sapphire is a beautiful azure or sky blue color, almost transparent and glittering as diamond. Then he can also call Chalcedon seems to be a spices of agate, more property of onuzi. Ozi is an ancient, is the ancient, was probably a bluish white and same pure seed. I can end there and just give a comment. This is the foundation that our great God is doing for a place where his redeemed would be. And sometimes I imagine when people want to make here in Africa introduction ceremonies for their brides, they try to beautify the environment and look very beautiful and exceedingly the level that will satisfy the heart of the groom and the bride. Now, this is the situation our Most High is doing. He is trying to lay a foundation of stones full of beauty that anybody could admire to see. When he's there, imagine how wonderful our God is. How do you know? We were created in the image of God, and this is the glory. If you one time go an extra mile, imagine if God was also created from, like we say, man was created out of the dust of the earth. Then God, out of nothing, he exists forever and ever. You cannot imagine in a more mysterious way he's trying to pull out more mysterious what I can say, items that you want to make really man enjoy. We should be glorious. We should be very agitating to love, to be among the redeemed. Mwaso among the 144,000 people would be translated to now give a very clear picture of from where they are from and where they are, and that we in ourselves ignite ourselves with a very wonderful choir to praise our living God. Thank you.
Amen, bro. The beauty of the stones, figurative of the beauty of God's character revealed in us, reflecting outward from Jesus himself as the source. There's a thought. So we've got 12 kinds of precious stones listed as being in the foundation. 8 of the same stone names are mentioned in Exodus chapter 28, verses 17 to 20, regarding the high priest's breastplate. But whereas each stone in the high priest's breastplate represented one of the 12 tribes, we find here in verses 19 and 20 that each foundation stone in the New Jerusalem bears the name of an apostle, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 14. Now, according to SDA Bible commentary, neither ancient sources nor modern scholars agree as to the identification of all the stones. Some of their suggestions we'll look at, and Brother Joel, I think he looked at 4 of them just then. We know jasper is in the Greek iaspis. The color is technically unknown. Well, it's known, but not 100% sure. The sapphire, perhaps the lapis lazuli, a transparent or translucent sky blue stone of great hardness. Now, remember what Sister Jones said a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, the colors of the rainbow? That would, obviously, that was, there is the color blue from the rainbow. We can look at that. That sapphire would cover that color. The chalcedony. The identification of this stone is uncertain. The RSV, the Revised Standard Version reads agate, like Brother Joel mentioned. Some suggest a gem of greenish color. So we have to put a question mark around that one. We could have said green from the rainbow, but then comes the emerald. And we know that that is believed to be a gem of bright green color. So there is the color green from the rainbow. Then we come to verse 20, the sardonyx. Perhaps an onyx with red and brown layers against a white background. And Brother Joel mentioned that. I think he did mention one with a similar color. Now, I could not find the color orange in any of these. So I thought perhaps there is the color orange from the rainbow in that one, even though I know it says red and brown. Perhaps that's the color orange from the rainbow. You've got the sardius, believed to be a reddish colored gem. The RSV reads carnelian, a reddish variety of chalcedony. There is the color red from the rainbow. Wonder if it looks like a ruby. Then you got the chrysolite, literally golden stone, a yellow-colored stone of uncertain identification. There is the color yellow from the rainbow. You've got the beryl, believed to be a gem of sea green color. There is the color green from the rainbow again. You got the topaz, believed to be more or less transparent yellow-colored stone used by the ancients for making both seals and gems. Some think the gold-colored chrysolite is meant. There is the color yellow from the rainbow again, almost like they're saying Aussie, 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 because they use green and yellow, which you can actually see. You know, this was donated to me last night. I was freezing talking to a man at the door, and I met his neighbors, and he didn't realize it was freezing because he had a jumper on. I had a shirt on. I say freezing, nothing like Iceland, certainly nothing like some of the weather you get. But this other guy gave me an Australia shirt. Oh, you take it. I don't want it. You can have it. Australia, green and yellow. Anyway, sorry for the diversion. Then you come to chrysoprases. The modern chrysoprase is an apple green. My dad used to get that quite a bit. He used to mine for such things as a prospector. Very pretty when it's smoothed up. There is some uncertainty as to whether this is the stone here referred to. And then you've got the jacinth, probably a purple-coloured gem. Some identify the jacinth with the modern sapphire. So if it's the purple-coloured gem, there is the colour yellow. Sorry, I've got... There is the colour indigo, dark purplish-blue, from the rainbow. Do it on the fly. There is the colour indigo, dark purplish-blue, from the rainbow. Then you've got the amethyst, thought to be a purple-coloured gem. There is the colour violet, closer to purple than blue. The difference between violet and indigo from the rainbow. So I think, sister, we weren't surprised, but we thought Joan was on something. I think she is. It'd be wonderful to understand more about those identifications, but they seem to be covered, and perhaps more than once, and perhaps even beyond, right? Colours we don't know. it is interesting, you know, I said to you that there's only 8 colours, stone names mentioned on the breastplate in Exodus. But Alan, the Spirit of Prophecy tells us something else, which I think you probably perhaps picked up because you probably read Patriarchs and Prophets more than once. And it comes from Patriarchs and Prophets. It's page 351. And I've underlined an answer to the 12 stones mentioned here. And who would like to read that to us all? I'll just put it in the room.
Over the ephod was the breastplate, the most sacred of the priestly vestments. This was of the same material as the ephod. It was in the form of a square, measuring a span, and was suspended from the shoulders by a cord of blue from golden rings. The border was formed of a variety of precious stones, the same that formed the 12 foundations of the city of God. Within the border were the 12 stones set in gold, arranged in rows of 4, and like those in the shoulder pieces, engraved with the names of the tribes. The Lord's direction was, Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. Exodus 28, verse 29. So Christ, the great high priest, pleading his blood before the Father in the sinner's behalf, bears upon his heart the name of every repentant, believing soul. Says the psalmist, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Psalms 40, verse 17, and that was from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 351.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro. So she doesn't link the 12 stones on the actual breastplate to the foundation stones of the city of God that we've read, but does link it to the border. Now, a quote in the room, by the way, there is a gem named citrine, which is orange, a forerunner of the amethyst. Thank you. Thank you, sis. So there is 2 quotes in the Exodus account that talks about that border, which is what Brother Bob just read from the Spirit of Prophecy. Here's the two quotes. I thought I'd just get it to, so it makes it easy to understand from a biblical point of view. It's from Exodus 28:26. It says, "Thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward." And Exodus 39:19, now it mentions what they made. "And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate upon the border of it, which was on the side of the ephod inward." So that was interesting. It's good to see that there is an answer to that lack of link, if you will. There's eight mentions on the breastplate, but four are missing, but she mentions it's the border stones they actually use, which are not expressed, as far as I know, except from these two quotes on the screen, that happen to be those same foundation stones we're reading about in Revelation chapter 21. A comment in the room regarding the chalcedony is a bluish translucent gemstone that seems to glow mysteriously from within, like a clear running stream. That just sounds amazing. Out of this world. To think we've already got stones like that on this world. We want out of this world. Goes beyond. Thank you for looking that up for us. So, a quote, I had to change this quote a bit because the wording, but I think it was by a man. Trying to think of his initials. I think it's PK or PJ, PJ. I don't know what it stands for at the moment, but it was a pioneer. He once said something to this effect. Is the foundations, I'll put the Bible back up. He says, "It is the foundations of the walls which have inscribed in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb that are garnished with precious stones. The Holy Spirit has garnished these foundations with precious stones. Those who have chosen to follow the Lamb through the ministry of the Spirit in the 12 apostles' spiritual descendants. Those who've come before us, and even you and I, represented in those stones." And that would certainly sound a lot like a couple of quotes from the Old Testament. I mean, sorry, two, I think it's one actually from the New and two verses from the Old. No, two from the Old, one from the New. And perhaps someone would like to read that to us, that relationship of stones to Revelation 21.
"Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:5. "That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace." Psalm 144:12. "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and thy borders of pleasant stones." Isaiah 54:11-12.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. Some little insights and thank you. Yeah, that's a good point as well. Thank you, sis, for reading, that we have gems on this earth to give us a hint of what God has made the holy city of, maybe imperfect on this earth, but more glorious in heaven. Yes. Amen. Which will be on this earth soon thereafter, which will be very exciting after, of course, the 1,000 years. How exciting, the thought. It's all true. So I'll leave it there with the verse we've got up to, but does anyone want to share any further insights, any comments, any questions?
I think God is anxious for us to understand what he's talking about, and he gives us glimpses here and there so that we can understand what he's talking about and imagine them as perfect, such as gold that's crystal clear. We don't understand that, but we know what gold is.
I was also adding something very small, which my Salus has just read. And he was saying, "Ye are lively stones." Now we could imagine a priestly race that the Lord is raising to be like stones, and these have mystery characters. And one of the characters I was thinking of, a stone being lively, and when in my whole school we would think of properties of stones, and you would think stones don't have life and these ones are so special that they are lively. They can even grow in attributes, in characters, in colors, that the Lord is doing a wonderful job in us to appear like those glowing stones with a different beautiful colors. And the race is raising should possess those wonderful colors, beautiful. These colors growing in us, that what the Lord is going to redeem is really precious by the blood of Jesus. And nothing in this world that the Lord loves more highly than the soul Christ died before. And it should be appended with the highest price of the precious stones that are so much glittering and that have a very mysterious attribute of glowing. I mean, they grow, they are life. I mean, life, you know, it's the only bit of life. It's everlasting and linked to life. He's the only one who knows how life can stay in an object she feels like. So these stones are lively. They have a special everlasting life in them that makes them grow. So you see a wonderful imagination of a scenario that God wants to place his people before he redeems us to our own dear efforts, that we strive, we struggle by his grace to be among those ones the Lord is going to redeem. You are lively stones, a special race, priests of the Most High. May we maintain, keep up, struggling to be among those the Lord is going to save. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we've got, amen, bro. With such a picture before us, you can see why all there is in the city is light. So wherever it reflects off everything, there's no shadows. There's no 64-meter shadow from the wall, it would appear, because of the very nature of its material. Quite a thought. Light reflecting God's presence and his presence. Yeah, the very glory of God is his character. The very last message of mercy we are to be engaged in now. Fear God, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Well, looking forward to picking it up next week at verse 21 and continuing, maybe backtracking a little sometimes, maybe forward tracking, whatever we do, learning together, growing together into that spiritual building that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of. Are there any testimonies, any songs, requests, praises, prayer requests that anyone has to share? Please go right ahead.
Amen. Praise the Lord and hallelujah for this wonderful session. It's a privilege and advantage, a depiction of the home to come in heaven that we shall be under one roof. And this part is a very big depiction of what is going to come, that one day one sharing, not in this distance, but now when I talk, I see the James, the Bob, and everybody else. This one implores me to do what I can't even use my own strengths to reach the level I want. Last Sunday, that was this week that started, I traveled out to go and visit my brother, Elder Male, in Kampala. Praise the Lord. He did a wonderful thing in his life. As much as it took some good time, Davis was a very big wound, amazing, could now put on his shoe, I mean sandals, and we moved in the city streets, doing a few things with him. I hope that was put forward that we can see that is big job of moving on the streets of Kampala, giving out to a Christian city as maybe once it's crowded, you find somebody preaching Jesus. I don't mind whether he's from Pentecostalism, but as he talks about the name of Jesus, yeah, who this Jesus is. And now it's to our great effort to see that we now also present the right message to them. So I praise God for what he has done in the life of Brother Male, that he now has his whole body, though with some scars to show that he suffered from a big wound, but he has his leg with sandals put on. For all that time, I've been in the house and he could only move around the house and he could not put on sandals because there was a big wound. Now that he can put on the wound, I can testify God can heal anybody at resource to his means of healing that he has given us through the natural way Very few people believe in herbal medicine, but I can now tell you that if you stick to the principles instructed in using the natural herbs, the natural food, you can indeed be healed. Male is now okay with his leg. And I'm very proud of him because we started with him the long journey of separation and he still stands by us. As if that was not enough, when I go to Kampala, is a center that connects many nationals. It's actually a cosmopolitan city that all people who flee from those affected areas of war in DRC, Congo, Sudan, and elsewhere, many of them find a mystery refugee in Kampala. And the brother Victor, who is in DRC, connected me to somebody who would be taking his material to Goma. And you know, before you reach Goma, from the border of Uganda, it may be like 8 hours drive to Goma. But between that distance, there are many militia raising up day after day because of the rich minerals around that region. Goma is an area which is very funny that it is technologically still very active, sitting on magma, real hot magma, because any time it can erupt. But Brother Shembus is in that region. So he gave me a brother who had come to study in Kampala, and he is connected to him that if I get any material, then I can send through him. When I was in Kampala with Brother Male, we managed to raise him, and he was directing us that he's in Kreka. Kreka is one of the locations of the Advanced Doctrine, where their publishing house is in Uganda. And he was telling me he prays from Kreka. So I was discussing, sharing with him the present truth, and he suggested we could meet physically and we share to greater detail. That was a very great opening because he's not a Ugandan, he's a Congolese, but staying in Uganda and studying in Uganda, and that Brother Victor has directed him to us. It was just a direct opening that we first give him the message, then he can transfer even the message to the other people whom Victor is meeting in DRC. So I praise God that he can do his work in a very wonderful way and a very mysterious way, and he can connect areas where you can do the work, even if when things are hard in such places. So thank you for your prayers that we can get linked to other people in such a mysterious way. And it's my prayer that the Lord does great work in them than the mere exchange of words from us and from the books, that they may get to know the truth and be part of the remnant, part of God's people who will be saved from this world. Thank you, Brother James, for the books you sent. They can now fall in the right hands by his grace, and it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit works on everybody who receives the message, the booklets, the tracts they will be giving. And as much as they are in English, for them, they now have double language. They know English and French. So as they get to learn for themselves, they will be now speaking in French. They will be now preaching. They will be exchanging in their local language, and then French being their other official language, which they can use to pass out the message to the Congolese who are in areas of wars, others in the Sudan area who know English, and also Arabic being part of their other language. So I pray that you continue supporting the publishing ministry in the form of tracts and booklets, so that in such areas we can give one person and then he can take them to the deep areas of their location so that people can share. Thank you for everything. May God bless you.
Thank you, dear bro. I just went off camera so we could hear you a bit better, hoping that the connection would get stronger. I think it worked, right? Slightly. Thank you for sharing the update with Brother Mally. That's fantastic. I mean, it was only, what, roughly a year ago where he was facing losing his foot. And with the help of natural remedies, the help of sisters and brothers, and God's blessing, he's walking around as if it never happened. But praising God, ever remembering that it did happen, and God provided him relief. What a blessing. And to hear of your outreach in Kampala, that sounds exciting. And I'm glad you continue to do the publishing ministry. It's, the whole world needs it. There's no shortage of work, have you noticed? Well, you've noticed it there in Africa. I mean, 40 million people alone in Uganda, Amos was telling me, in Belmont, he took a couple of books, and it's so true. And I met a guy last Sunday at the Belmont swap meet. His name was Daniel. And he came up to me and he saw I was talking to an agnostic, but he didn't know that. He thought we were just two SDAs giving away Spirit of Prophecy books and that. And he was really happy about it. And I was happy that he was happy about it, but he thought I was an SDA. And he said, I was thinking, I've got lots of quarterlies and I don't want to chuck them away. And I come from a country where it's very, you know, they very much need it. But, you know, I don't think he quite said that last part. I'm just thinking on my feet, like that's what I would be thinking. I probably would send it over there. But anyway, he didn't mention that. Maybe he's thought of it. He said, but could I put it on your table? Now I could see all the tables are full. And he said that, and I said, well, you know, sir, I not knowing his name at that time, I said, well, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh. I said, but I have a lot of her, Ellen White's writings, so that's correct. Yes, because they are very Protestant. They are uplifting and they are the Spirit of Prophecy. And so he's listening, and, I said, I tell you what, if you can prove to me that the SDA Church of today is not in apostasy, it's not Babylon and not fallen, I will put it on the tables. And he straight away went, oh, you, every time I asked him a question, he seemed to just, he had words, but they weren't answers. But maybe it might have been the language barrier. He talked pretty good English, though. And he just said, he kept saying, because he said, I think he thought the guy next to me was a Christian, so he could witness at the same time to him. And then Felix gets up and says, by the way, because Felix, he's probably worked that out, he said, I'm an agnostic, and my name's Felix. Good one, Felix. And I said a couple of things before he left, but the interesting thing is, he did take a couple of things. I gave him is your SDA church part of Babylon tract? I gave him that. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll read it. And he was in earnest. He said that. And then I mentioned corporate responsibility, and that was, he just kept going, oh, you're pointing, we've got to be careful not to point fingers. And, I said, but sir, well, you believe you should separate from the church you were part of to become an SDA. So you're going to apply that same rule? Why, you shouldn't be pointing fingers. You should be able to stay Catholic. Why are you calling them out to join your church? He said, but who are they going to join, James? I said, Jesus. Looking at him. Oh, yes, that's true. And so it was good to hear him even fight that. I said, that's who they would join. Nothing a matter with organization, but not hierarchy. And he didn't disagree with that. I said, oh, that's good. You're being honest. It is a hierarchy. I said, how long have you been in SDA? He said, 7 years. Oh, it's a good number, but so, he took a couple of things that he said, oh, you're giving me corporate responsibility. He had a big smile on his face. He said, cause you've been talking about that ever since I started talking to you. I said, will you read it? It's not that long. Would you prayerfully read it? And you know, if you find, you know, you can convince me it's false, I want to hear. But if it's true, why not follow? He said, no, I will. His name's Daniel. He's from South Africa. Yes. Humble kind of looking guy. Yeah, praise the Lord. He came along. I could sense he was trying to witness to what he thought, because people sit with me, and so people just naturally think they're with me when they set up the store, you know, hours before in the cold and that. And so it was good. I think they feel that, I think he felt he was witnessing to him about that, because it wasn't just to me that, no, he was defending the church, but the way he was doing it, he wasn't really defending it. He just was trying to say, you know, you're following what you think is the truth. And then I said, well, you say that, but we have the Bible, the law and the testament to get to the solution. Not just maybe it could be often should-bes, would-bes, but certainties. Yes, yes, yes. I said, yeah. So, you know, I'm not putting you down because you're an SDA. I love SDAs. I love Catholics. Love Methodists. Love atheists. Don't you? And I don't know how he responded. I'm sure he must have smiled at that. So, really good. As I mentioned just now, I was given this lovely Australian, you know, what they wear at Olympics. You can't tell the colour, but it's green, as well as yellow, and apparently appearing twice in the stones and the foundation of the city of God. And this man kept me, and I thought, oh, maybe 20 minutes. 20 minutes turned into an hour and a bit. So I was running late. Lucy gave me a reading while I was driving home 50 minutes later for 50 minutes. And I'm really grateful to have that opportunity. You get to know a person a bit more, and they see that you're genuinely interested in hearing from someone you've never met before, and also their neighbors. So that was exciting. I think I've given away 12 great controversies. So hopefully some more today. The guy warned me, oh, that place over there, you're going to go over there. I said, why not? You just said there's 200 units there. 200. I said, I don't know if I told him this. I said, I haven't been in that much. And I wouldn't say it's the biggest in the world. You know, you want to go to some of the cities in America or China, you know, they're all up that way, you know, vertical. So hopefully we'll get to do that today. I'm looking forward to it. There anything further anyone has to share before we have a season of prayer?
Yes, I invite your prayers for the lightministries.com URL to be transferred successfully. It's sort of in limbo at the moment. To be transferred from our old host or registrar to the new registrar. I was told it should be completed by tomorrow at the latest, and then I got an email that said Friday at the latest. And once the URL is transferred, then we should be able to point it to the new host for the web. And get off of the old host for the website that charged $400 more per month. So it's getting close to the end of the month, and if you've been following this saga of getting the two sites off of the old host onto the new host, it's now 21 days since that process began. One website is completely good, the truechurchofgod.info. That site is all good. It's just the lightministries.com site that is still connected with the old host and not yet on the new host. So we hope that will take place soon. Thank you for your continued prayers in that. And hopefully I'll have great news next time we meet. It's just amazing. Something so simple has had so many roadblocks. You just know that the devil's involved.
Your patience is being tested.
No doubt. And praise God for his grace.
Yes, amen and amen. Well, let's have a season of prayer. If anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free to do so, and I shall go last.
Our most wonderful God, we thank you for this wonderful privilege that you have bestowed onto us in these last days, that we can be able to meet in this way to share your word that is building us into souls that will build him from this earth. We pray that you continue opening wide ways that we may learn of you. We pray for the Holy Spirit always to be by our side, to lead us in everything we do, in everything we talk, that we may reflect your true characters, and that the whole earth may be enlightened with your glory. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ who died for us. May his blood be of value, and our sins be blotted, and our books, our names be written in the book of life. Lord, we thank you that you have entrusted us with your precious word. We pray that we be instruments to carry out your word, the last message of mercy to the world. We know and we are seeing we are in the very, very last days of this earth's history. Many invaders have rolled over and they continue to roll over with the name of teaching us that Christ is soon to come. May we get hold on your son who died for us. His word that we may be able to be fitted for heaven. We thank you that you still continue to sustain us in this weary world where things are too hard, where there is war, disease, famine, and all things that Satan employs to make us fail. We pray that you stand by our side. Raise up our weak areas in life that you may stand strong. Lord, we thank you that you've always listened unto us. Even if when we don't pray, you provide. Continue providing that we may glorify you and that we may know that you are a loving God, merciful, that even if when we don't pray, you are generous to provide. Continue revealing yourself unto us in this very last day, that you may know who is our God, and that you also may reveal to others. Lord, we pray that you write our names in the book of life. You forgive us where we have not fulfilled your will, that it may be victors. In a special way, we pray for, let there be light ministries that had the mind of establishing all these technologies that we are using to enjoy our social sharing and talk. Lord, in the process of transferring from one host to another, may you hasten the process and make everything work more exceedingly than we can expect, that your word may go worldwide. We pray for Elder Bob, that you give him wonderful wisdom, and also all others who join, give them wisdom that we may learn from you, and then your characters may be reflected among us. We thank you. Give us all the intellect we need to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, as always, we come before you this day with thanks that we can come before you and worship together online. Of course, we commune with you every day privately or in shared prayer, but talking with you like this with brothers and sisters in the faith in other parts of the world does bring with it a special joy. Please help us to remember that we always belong to you. You are always willing to guide and protect us, and all we have to do to be worthy of this enormous privilege is to have faith in your word and to sincerely repent of our sins, no matter what they are. I thank you too for the enlightenment we have received today from the study of your word, and ask that wherever possible we may pass this on to others so that they might benefit as we have from a deeper understanding. I ask also that you will help all of us to spend quality time with you every day, that no matter how harried we feel or weighed down with the burdens of life, we will always find the time to commune with you. In conclusion, dear God, I wish to pray that we will all have the opportunity to be among those who will be saved to spend eternity with you. As always, we thank you for hearing this humble prayer, which we offer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for making salvation available to each one of us, and for strengthening your love for us with all the evidences in nature, the beautiful stones, the flowers, trees, fruit-bearing trees, plants, Thank you for leading and guiding us to have a little heaven here on this earth and to stoke our imaginations what it must be like in heaven where everything is perfect. And may your love be in our hearts so we may speak a word to someone who needs to hear about a God who loves them. And thank you so much for caring for us, that you gave up your life so that we would have a chance, a choice in this whole matter. Thank you for allowing Brother Joel to go where he goes and speak to people there where he lives. Thank you for Brother James, who's diligent with door knocking, and Sister Lucy, who accompanies him. Thank you for Ellen White, who had the visions and wrote the books that are a strong draw to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for the ability to read and to understand. And thank you most of all for being with us every day, every minute, and sending angels to watch over us. Be with us now as some of us go on for the rest of the day and others of us are sleeping to get the rest we need. Thank you, dear Lord, for waking each one of us up this morning and allowing us to spend time in your presence. Most of all, thank you, Jesus, for taking the sins of everyone and allowing us to be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the promises of God and fulfilling them right now, having done so in the past and so willing to do so in today and the future, near and far. Thank you for glimpses of heaven and the earth made new, and the eternal abode of the saved. Buoying up hope, because we know it's not untrue. It's not imaginary. It's not crazy. It's all true and much more that we don't know. That is all good. And we're going to be more than happy. Please make in the spiritual aspect, on the spiritual level, in the kingdom of grace that it comes before that glory, we experience that happiness and peace and joy of knowing presently what it means to have the Holy Spirit, who has the power to impart eternal life principles, to live them out, to prepare for that kingdom that shall never come to an end, which the people of God inherit. That we would experience on a spiritual level the things that we know are true and will be so in the future on a physical level. That our hope will be strong on that physical, but our living faith would be real because we know that Christ lives and the Holy Spirit's making it possible by dwelling in our hearts. In our minds and taking control of it instead of our sinful natures, like the opening song brought out. that we would rather choose Christ and Barabbas, or Christ rather than sin, because that's exactly what the opposite of Christ is, selfishness and sin. Thank you for pointing this out and working with us in the gentle way the Holy Spirit does that, convicting of sin, of Christ's righteousness, and of the judgment that none need to fail in by the pardoning, redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. Please bless the efforts, continue to bless the efforts to prepare hearts to receive, whether it be literature, including something being sent to Amazing Word Ministries, a well-known ministry in America, and other ministries that need to hear the word, and perhaps it's next to impossible to get in contact with them. We make the most of what contact details we've got and seek your blessing on it, so that we are doing all we can to fulfill scripture, that the Lord gave the word and great was the multitude that proclaimed it, and that the earth, the mighty angel came down from heaven and the earth was lightened with his glory. The glory of God, the character of God that agrees with the everlasting gospel that has never changed and will not change with the four angels' messages. Thank you for giving our dear brother Bob one step closer to completion. May more steps go toward that end, and you equip him and anyone else that needs the patience to and the grace and knowledge to know how to see it fulfilled. It would be sad to see it prolonged and, of course, incur more costs, and we know the devil would love that to happen and much more. And we're thankful to know that you know how the devil works and thinks and acts, not because you like him, but because you know everything. You know what is not yours. You know what it is for someone to die and hate the Holy Spirit, to be blaspheming him, to going against the Holy Spirit that the devil once used to accept into his heart and control his life when he was not a fallen angel. May it come that much closer to completion, and thank you that it's still in the process, and may any other brother or sister that's in the process of a project, whether it's big or small, realize any project that takes time requires grace, and grace, patience, to endure the trial that requires time for the trial to come and endurance to be had. Bless our brothers and sisters to get the sleep that they need, the much needed sleep. And thank you for giving us more hope the more we live on your word and get further away from this world and its hopes. But looking like our Father, faithful Father, Abraham of the faith, a city whose building and maker is God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
One more P.S. I forgot to mention Let There Be Light Ministries. All the faithfulness and the work and the I can't think of the word I want to say, but you know, Lord, the sacrifice that went into all these years of ministry. Thank you for the growing experience. And thank you that this ministry has grown so that we can speak to anyone that's interested here in this world via the internet. Thank you, dear Lord, for this very precious ministry. In Jesus' name, please help the way to smooth out a little bit. And thank you for the courage and the patience to hang in there, because we know God is blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. And we will keep these things in prayer, things everyone shared, and silent prayer requests and other things going on. God is good. He impresses you for things you didn't even know were an issue. And he gives you the grace to cope with it. Well, any last thoughts before we get Brother Dick to sing us away? It's quite fitting, Brother Dick, you should be in the middle. That's very good. Any last thoughts? Good day to you, Brother Joel, too.
Brother James, I just want to let you know that my phone appears to have died completely, but we know that's happened before and eventually it comes back to life. So, but in the meantime, if you're trying to contact me and you can't, email, praise the Lord, is still working. Thank you.
Thanks for the heads up, Luce. We'll keep that in prayer. And maybe it's time to get a new phone. A new one. Not a second-hand one. Praise the Lord you got this far. If you could keep that all in prayer, it would be good to hear, Luce. You'd never have a problem again with that phone. Good to see you, sisters. It's been a privilege to meet up with you again. Looking forward to meeting up on Sabbath. Lord willing, we'll all be there, and anyone and everyone else. Even Val and Peter, you never know. It might happen. It might not. That they might prosper and be in good health, even as their souls prosper. Take care until we meet again. And before and after that, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the hot darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.